my mom gave us something.
Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. What we're going to do is we're going to continue in what we started the first half. What did we learn in the first half? That Zacharias is in the course of a bio. We went back into Chronicles, etc., and we showed that he is of the eighth course, and he is of the course of a bio, serving in the temple. And also we found out that the first month is called Nisan or Abib. We go by Nisan, at least I do. You can call it anything you want. But we're going to continue. We're talking about 24 courses had to be completed. Well, with those 24 courses, goodness, thank God it worked $1,000. Okay, we got 24 courses. You can see we've got 8 of them on the board. Now, what happens once these 24 courses are done? But even before that, look, and we're going to go into detail on this. There's 3 other feasts that all of these men have to go to. All 24 of them got to be at these 3 feasts. So that's 3 weeks, plus the 24 weeks is 27 weeks. And then once they get through with that, these same 24 have to do it again. So they're actually out there 51 weeks. Any problem with that? They serve twice each in the temple per year, plus the 3 feasts. That should be pretty well what it is. Now, that's 357 days, and that covers at least the 12 winter months, so no problem. How long were they supposed to serve? Go over to 2 Chronicles. I know some of this is just dry stuff, you know, but it ain't many. So, 2 Chronicles 8.
I got my first one too in my pocket here. I'm driving you crazy.
All I want to show you here is just simple. We've already covered it, but it's in a different place. 2 Chronicles 8:14. And he appointed, according to the order of David, his father, Solomon did this, the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priest, as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their courses at every gate, for so had David the man of God commanded. God commanded David. David gave the order to Solomon. Solomon is the one appointed all of these people according to the courses. Go over to 2 Chronicles 23. Show you, I've mentioned it already, but I want you to actually see it so you'll know it's in here. The priests begin and end their service in the temple on the Sabbath day. Remember, we just talked about that, but I want you to see it in verse 8 in 2 Chronicles 23. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with him that they were to go out on the Sabbath. And Jehoiada, the priest, dismissed not the courses. In other words, you come in on the Saturday, on the Sabbath, and whatever it is, I show you. And then you come, you leave on the same thing when the next guy takes your place. Yes, ma'am.
It seems like that there's 1 week that's unaccounted for, the 24 and the 3 weeks, or is 1 feast 2 weeks? Well, who ministered during that 5 week?
Well, here's, you're talking about because there's 1 week missing.
Yeah,
the Jewish calendar is different. Now, we're not going to go into it because it's too much. But they've got an Adar 2, that's another month. And every 2 years, each one of those months don't have the same number of days in it.
Okay.
In the Jewish calendar.
Oh, I was thinking that it was an even 4 weeks a month. 4 weeks a month.
But at the end, you don't have the 357 days. We've got 365, right?
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
But the scripture does not tell you who went ahead and filled those other 8 days. It doesn't tell you. Well, we know who did it. Somebody out of the 24. We just don't know who. The scripture does not tell you, so I don't leave it to your imagination. Don't do that. But we know if these men, these 24, were assigned to it, we don't know in here which one of those 24 they came in. We don't. It just doesn't say. I don't have an answer for you. But it's a good question. Whenever when I calculated 51 weeks, I had the same question. Where's the other? You know, there's something missing here. But there is, nobody knows except God himself. Now, so you see, by the scripture, 2 Chronicles 23:8, and this from the Sabbath to the Sabbath. Go to Exodus 29.
What was that reference again?
Exodus 29:29. And this shows you, we just read where it said it was from a Sabbath to a Sabbath. That's good. But now we're going to show you how many days they're in there, even though I've already told you it's a week. Exodus 29:29, and the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister into the holy place. So he's there for 7 days. It's not a partial week. It's 7 days from Sabbath to Sabbath. No problem there. Now, on three occasions, I've already mentioned it, all the men of Israel were required to travel to Jerusalem, no matter where you were at, for festivals to the Lord. Now, I want to show you something. Go to Deuteronomy 16. We're talking about on what day was Jesus Christ born, and we're doing the background, and it was not December the 25th. But we got to find out by the scriptures, in case you turned it in late off the internet or the video or whatever. And how do I know it's three times? Because Deuteronomy 16:16 says so. Verse 16, three times in a year shall all my males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast, listen now, in the feast of unleavened bread and in the feast of weeks. And I'm going to tell you what those are called in a minute. And the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So you can see by the scriptures that there's three feasts per year. Now, remember, unleavened bread. Go over and hold on to that if you want. Go to Exodus 23. Yes?
What are those scriptures in the U.S. 16?
On Deuteronomy?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 16:16. Exodus 23. And I'm going to go to verse 14. We've already read it, but we've read part of it, but I haven't read all of it. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Well, that's pretty explanatory. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Now that's specific. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as it commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou comest out of Egypt, from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Listen, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. So what you have is a bunch of different feasts, and we're going to cover that right now. Over to Exodus, let's see, verse 17, three times. Go to Leviticus 23. And if you go, I'm going to read you one other scripture. It's not that I'm not going to tell you. This is Exodus 34:23. Just to give you some more backup. How important that it was for those Israelites. in Exodus 34, verse 23. Thrice, three times in the year shall all their men, men children, the Bible says, appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. The God of Israel. Now, what did I say go? Leviticus. Let me find it. 23. Verse 6. You know, on the verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. We're not concerned about the Lord's Passover right now. We're concerned about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, one that all men that was in these courses had to attend, and all the Israelites. Now, verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month, that's Abib or Nisan, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. Now, I'm not going to take you over to Leviticus 23. Well, if you want to back it up over the first, and just read this yourself. In Leviticus 23, 1, 2, 3. And you'll find out that that's a Sabbath day. A holy convocation is a Sabbath day. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering of fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. That's another yearly a Sabbath. You shall do no servile work therein. If you did, guess what? The Lord will strike you dead as he did that man picking up sticks in Deuteronomy. He was out picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And God smote him, killed him right there on the spot. After Moses said, what do you want us to do with him? Now, verse 10, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when you be come into the land which I shall give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest. Verse 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. I just want you to see that. Now look at here. Verse 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep of the wayfarer, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Okay? So we know Sunday morning when they went and saw that tomb empty, that was the day after the Sabbath. 7 Sabbaths, 49 days plus 1, 50 days. Let's keep on looking. Even until the morrow, verse 16, after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering to the Lord. So what happens 50 days after?
50 days after what?
After the
first fruits.
After Christ was raised from the dead.
We had the first fruits, right? It's 51 days of Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Yeah.
What's Pentecost called? Now, you need to see this. Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest. So you're going to find these feasts not named in here, and you might want to figure out, write it down somewhere when you start studying this, that when you start saying, well, the Feast of Weeks, is that Pentecost? Well, of course it is. Is it the Feast of Harvest? Yes, they had a harvest in the spring. We're talking about the harvest in the fall. But I wanted you to see that. We're looking at the 23, and that's where we're at. Well, let's go to verse 36. Well, before I do that, back up to verse 24. And this is just some background, but the one that I'm interested in is there. But then verse 24, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, that's what he told Moses, the Lord. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A Feast of Trumpets. Now that is called Tishrei. It's got another name, but I prefer to use Tishrei. In the seventh month. And that's the Feast of Trumpets. In verse 27. Also on the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation. But neither one of those feasts do they have to show up, except the one who's got his normal course. Not all the courses. Now, verse 34. Speaking to the children of Israel, the Lord told Moses, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Listen to this closely. You saw that. It says 7 days. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. That's the yearly Sabbath. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. But look, this is the only feast that's got 8 days. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it is the solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. So now what you have, you've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread, starting on the 15th. You've got Pentecost, which is called the Feast of Pentecost. You've got the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest at that point in time. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles means to, well, as we talked earlier, to abide in and so forth, to stay in. Our body is a tabernacle, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Okay? We're waiting for a body made without hands is waiting for us right there. So, if you got this in the case, so the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th day of Tishra, which is the 29th day of September, is this. That's called the Feast of Booths. Because it's like tents. Can you imagine, just say, I don't know how many, but just say 3 million people in Jerusalem. They're out there waiting. They got their tents. Their tabernacle. They're tabernacling in it. They're staying in their tents. There's not enough motels, hotels, inns. That's why Christ was born in a manger. Because there was no room for it. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so let's continue here. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering. And we're going to see a little bit later on why that's true and why the taxes were being paid at this time. Because people had harvested their crops, called the Feast of Ingathering, and they had money.
Now what verse is this? Where are you at?
No, I'm just talking right now. Let's go to verse 39 of Leviticus 23.
Okay.
Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is 8 days long. The only feast like that. And there's a reason for that. Verse 42. Tabernacles. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. And all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. So it's called the Festival of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering. Or there's another one. This is a Jewish. S-U-K-K-O-T, I believe.
Sukkot.
Who said that?
Me. That's right. It's Sukkot.
Good. I thought it was Joe in the back.
No, you're right. I'm checking on you.
So that's another feast. What? It's the same feast.
Yeah.
There's the voice of Joe. He spoke.
Okay.
I think that's what they celebrate, the Jews today.
Yep, they do.
Big feast.
You're absolutely right. Now, I'm going to do a what if. A what if. You know, the Jews right now, Joe, tell them what a Seder meal is.
That's the Passover meal. They celebrate the leaving Egypt when they put the blood of the lamb on the posts.
But they're waiting for Elijah.
Yeah.
The Jews still set a wine goblet when they set their place of setting for a meal on that day. Empty chair. Waiting for Elijah. But Elijah's already come in the form of John the Baptist. How do I know that? Because Christ said that. But they're still waiting because the Jews don't believe that. What a sad situation that they don't believe that. But, thank God they don't believe it. That's right. Remember, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. Through their fall came salvation unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Thank God. It had to be opened up to us. They had to fall. They had to be cast away. And now everybody's under one umbrella of salvation, trusting the gospel of the grace of God that Christ was crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead on the third day for their justification. So thank God they didn't believe it. But, you know, is it our responsibility to tell the Jews today? Of course. Is it our responsibility to really go out and try to save a Jew and bless a Jew? Absolutely not. We're living in a dispensation of the grace of God. It's a mystery. It's not mentioned in the scriptures anywhere until the Apostle Paul. Back to what I'm doing. I'll get carried away on the gospel. Now, what if, I'm going to move some of this stuff. Remember, because I'm going to have to come back here. He was the eighth course of Abiah. Zacharias was. We got a lot of reason to do. But there was a feast here. This one moved. Here went to four. This one, they just all moved down. And then there was another one. Pentecost came about. So that means it shifted again. So now, the course of Abiah is number 10. 10th week, should I say. The course hasn't changed. He's still in the 8th course of Abiah, but he is now in the 10th week since Nisan Roman. You got me? Okay, enough on that part. What if, that's what we're going to do. What if Christ was, instead of born on the 25th of December, what if he was conceived on the 25th of December? Now let's look at it. The 25th of December. 25th. Okay. Well, January. You know, the perfect, and when Christ was born, they ain't no if it's close. He's the perfect Son of God, the perfect God-man. There's 280 days of gestation for a baby to be born, from the conception until the birth. That's the perfect scenario, and that's what happened here. He wasn't born on the 279th or the
281st.
He wasn't
preemie,
huh? He wasn't no preemie, you know. Perfect. God-man. So what we're looking for, if he was conceived here, when would he actually be born?
So 280 days later.
280 days later. But let's figure that out. Now, from December the 25th to January the 1st.
Is this calendar of 365 days?
This calendar is 365. There is, as far as I know, there is no other calendar this accurate anywhere in the world. Anywhere. But through this month here, going through the end, that's the 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. That's 7 days left in the month of December.
Can I ask a question here?
Sure.
The Gregorian calendar wasn't made until 1500s.
Okay.
So that's 365 days. Before that, there was the Hebrew calendar, which was 360 days. And according to what you're saying, there's another calendar. So, you know,
the
calendar is not just counted. It's 357 sheets.
Since we're talking about Jews, should we be using the Hebrew calendar?
No, we're trying to find out when Christ was born based on our calendar.
Yeah.
And we got to use our calendar.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be the same thing.
Right.
But it's going to be called.
It's just flip flop, is what we've done.
Okay. How many days in January?
31.
February? 28. When's this a leap year, right? We may have to change.
March. How many?
31. Well, let me start adding up here. I don't want 7, 8, 9, 17, 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, that ain't enough. That ain't 208. April. So there's 30 days there. May.
31.
31. June. 30th. July.
31.
Let me add some more. 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12. And what have we got here? 97 and 122 is 9, that's 219. We still ain't got that. August. 31. That's fine. We'll add to this now. Oh, we still need how many?
30 more.
30 more days.
September.
It's September.
I think on December you have 6 days, but because you counted the 25th as a day, it should be six, shouldn't it?
Well, hang on. I'm going to mess up here. I'm going to straighten it up in a minute because I've got messed up somewhere. September, so what? So are we sure? January's got
September 31st.
Is that right? February 28th. March.
First,
that sounds good. April. September has got 30. But I somewhere I may have messed up.
Yeah, 25 and 7 is 32.
Where's that?
Unless you're coming to 25. So you got
249 total. In other words, if that's what we're going to go with, that's what we're going to go with. 49. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll just change that and make this. And so what do we need here?
We need 31.
That ain't right.
Well, you're February.
No. I know what it is. It's this right here. So let me re-add all of this because this is so simple. I can't believe I'm
wrong. That 7 still should be a 6.
No, I don't think so. 7, 8, 9. Well, that's 18 right there. 1, that's 9. 3, 6, 9, 12.
22
and 0, 1, 2, 2, and then I've got 31 down here. Now we get it. 1, 5, 2. Now we need 2, 5, 1 from that. We need 29 more days. So in September,
it's 30 days of 29.
September the 29th, if this is correct, would be the day Jesus Christ was born. Well, the 15th day of Tishrei is what, Joe? Yeah. The first day.
Tabernacle.
Of the Feast of Tabernacle. Yeah. When the Lord came down to tabernacle with us. Equivalent to here is the Feast of Tabernacle. And it is the 15th of Tishrei.
So it's the 29th, the first Tishrei.
Yeah, the 29th is the 15th. It's the first day of the festival or feast of tabernacles. The Lord, if this is correct, came down in tabernacle with us as he was born on the first day of tabernacle. More than likely, when he comes back again, it's going to be on the first day of the 15th day of Tishrei. On the 29th of September, when he comes back to tabernacle with us. But anyway, if this scenario is correct, y'all see how we got that? So we went ahead 280 days from his conception. But how can we tell if that might be correct? We have to go back to the course of Apia right now, because John the Baptist was 6 months older. Now, I've got my calculations here. So what I'm going to do, if you've got this, I'm going to erase this. I think I'll just leave this over here. See if I can. In December, because he was 6 months older, I mean, he was conceived 6 months prior to this. But it meant he was born, what, 3 months prior to this, right? Or conceived. I'm going to get messed up. I've done this so many times, and I'm getting confused myself. Now,
he's 6 months old. He came 6 months later.
Let's look at this. December, and we got to back this thing up. 6 months. 6 months. So, December the 24th, back out. We're coming down now. This is going to be November. Instead of over here, we're going forward. We got to back it up 6 months. There's 24 days in the month of December. You follow?
Why are we backing up 6 months?
Because John the Baptist was conceived 6 months prior.
To the day. 6 months to the day.
Born
6 months before.
That means he was conceived 6 months before, right?
Yeah. He was born 6 months before. He had
now,
Jesus was before. Christ was conceived.
In November, there's 30 days. October, there's what? 31.
9 more years.
September.
30.
3rd. August.
31.
31. July. 31. Now look.
That's
6 months in our time, and that's what we're doing. Because we're using our calendar on the 9 month calendar. In the way ours is occurring. So we're looking at 2/3 of the pregnancy prior to Christ getting in the conception of Christ. Let me say that again. 2/3 of the pregnancy of John the Baptist took place before the conception of this. So that means 2/3 of 280, which is, and I had to work this out, is 187 days. Actually, it's 186 and 2/3. So that's close enough to me. Now, let's add this up. So 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What is that? 15, 17. So I've got 177 days here before John the Baptist now. We need 187 days prior to Christ's conception for him to be the 6 months older. So I'll take the 177, 10 days. Well, we've got another month down here called June. We can't just... What we have to do is take the 10 days. How many days is in this month?
30.
We'll take the 10 off of it and say that's the 20th. And actually, it's the 21st or the 20th. So what we do, we'll back that up. And I'm going to put the June down here. It makes it even more readable. June the 20th. June 20th, right here. That accounts for the other 10 days right here, 187. That gives us 2/3 of the pregnancy. Am I confusing you?
Who's pregnancy?
John the Baptist.
Elizabeth's pregnancy.
For John the Baptist.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So that's when he was
conceived.
Now.
That was a good evening.
So that's the case. We need 93 days.
Is this your birthday?
We need 93 days. If we've got 6 months, and we do, when he was conceived. Now, this is an important day. I've got to show you that based upon the courses. But if we've already got 6 months, backed it up, and we did from this point right here, we got when John the Baptist was conceived. But let's see when he was born. So we'll take... Y'all got that, so let me erase this stuff up here. Nope. We need 93 days to go with the, 187 to make it 08, to make the 280 for him. So we've already accounted for 187 of those days. We found out he was conceived here on June the 20th. But look, we still got 93 days to do. We can add it to this. And we can find out when he was born. If that scenario was correct. So now what I'm going to do is go with the...
You mean subtract it?
No. December, no, we add from the 25th to the end of the month was 7 days. And we already established that. So this is the fact now. Then we've got January, 31 days, which makes 38. Then we've got February, which was 29. Well, that was before, so it couldn't be a leap year here, right? 28 added to that, 6, that's 66. 66, we need 93, we got 66. 7, what is that, 27 days? So now, we need 27 more days to show when John the Baptist was born. So we go forward, and we're going to find out, and I've got a different date here, but that's okay. So March 27th. You're going forward here instead of backwards. Should be the day that John the Baptist was born. Christ was born. Now, the reason it's so important to see that the 10th, remember, he is of the course of Abia, the 8th course. There was two festivals, feasts, that had to take place that moved him on out. So you're talking about from one Nisan until what I say is going to be March the 27th is probably going to be around, and this is around the day of the Passover or the first day of unleavened bread. Because March, April is the month of Nisan. There's a big possibility he was born on. I don't have the Jewish calendars to go back and correct all of that. But March the 27th, matter of fact, I've got one, but this is not correct. Let me see. Just hang in here now. March. That's no good. That was a different year. Because each year these things change. Yes, Joe?
You got it right. Because you count the courses from Abijah. The Passover and John the Baptist and Zechariah was on duty, it was around June. That's when John the Baptist was conceived, around June, when he was on the job. That's right.
Right. But see, whenever John the Baptist, how far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem?
2 miles.
10? Well, that's pretty close. I looked it up and said up to 25, you know, yeah. Mary made a trip, you know, 4 trips. Some people say it's 5, but it's walking distance. Yeah. But what I'm saying is here, from Jerusalem to where John lived, you could be there within 2 days at the most. So he spent 10 weeks. These people in these courses had 10 weeks before he was the 10th week. And at the end of that one, then it took another couple days to get home so he could be with his wife, so she could get pregnant. I like that joke.
He was conceived in June.
Yeah, he was conceived in June. But what I'm saying is, born somewhere around
when you get home,
around the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do y'all see that?
Yeah. 10 weeks.
What about it, Jim?
Here's the one thing that troubles me of all this is the fact that it sounded like what you're saying is that Christ was born about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, but I thought all the Jewish men had to be in Jerusalem, and yet they were going to their home of record to pay taxes.
They paid them. Here's the thing. You're right. Look, we might get into that, right?
There's no will.
That's
why Mary was it should have been that was going against
But why is he with him?
It's called.
Well, but he should have been going to Jerusalem. Everyone, all the men, had to go to Jerusalem.
Right. But the Roman decree was that you got to pay taxes.
So did they go against what God wanted them to do?
No, that's where they went and paid taxes.
So while they were coming to the feast, they were.
They paid taxes. That's where everybody gathered. It's called the Feast of Ingathering, also, the Feast of Tabernacles. They had a harvest. They sold that money. They didn't have no money prior to that. So they couldn't pay taxes in June. So it couldn't have been in the wintertime because the shepherds weren't going to leave. I found out in Lebanon they do that. They leave them out in the winter. And they break tree limbs and stuff like that, and they feed them with that. But that's not true with the Israelites. You'll never find that in the scriptures when they did.
So Jesus couldn't have been born during the week of Tabernacles because they had already.
He was born on the first day of Tabernacles, the 29th, which is the 15th Tishrei. The first day. And why would I say that? That's the only feast that's got 8 days. He was, what? Circumcised on the 8th day.
My question is 7.4 miles.
7.4 miles, that's good. So, but you see what I'm saying? He was circumcised. It had to be done on the eighth day, and that's the only feast that coincides. It's the only one that's 8 days long. He was born on the first day of Tishrei, which is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, circumcised on the last day of it. Man, I've got so much for you, and we got 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Can you put up lights on the 20th now?
Here's the thing. You're not going to change. You're not going to change.
Jesus is the light. So.
You're not going to change anybody's mind, guys. Don't even worry about it. Who's in charge down here right now, anyway?
Cheers.
Oh,
bro. That's not very nice.
You work at the 10 courses when he's on the 8th course, he'll come out, he's on duty and goes home right around the middle of June.
20th. Exactly.
Either way.
I wanted to show you both ways.
Yes, it works.
Yeah. I don't have any doubt that he was conceived here.
December 25th is right because he's on duty and he goes home around the 20th of June.
The only thing that I'm not sure of out of all this is March the 27th when he was born. Is it on? This is the only thing I've got to hang up about. Is it really on the day of the first day of the unleavened bread? Or is it on Passover? See, Jesus Christ was born on the first day of the feast day, the great feast day it's called. So why wouldn't John the Baptist, the forerunner, his cousin, be born on the first day of unleavened bread, the Feast of Harvest? I don't know that everything else, you can take it to the bank. But that's the only day. I'm saying I believe that it was the 15th. Yes. You had your hand up? Okay. Now, go to Luke chapter 2. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. That's what Mary started. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into where? The city of David. What is the city of David? Jerusalem. Which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So the Roman authorities were going to collect taxes. There were shepherds attending their flocks in the field in September, not in December. It was going to be too cold. Now, This was the Feast of Ingathering. The Feast of Booths means they had money. It's an 8-day feast where Jesus Christ as an infant could be dedicated to God by circumcision on the 8th day after his birth. It was a law that the men of Israel had to attend this festival. It was required of the law. They would go and Mary and Joseph could not find shelter, right? Why? Because there's so many people there.
Or was this during the census?
Yeah, I think it was.
The Rome.
They did a census there, right? Yes.
Okay.
I believe it was. Now, we've got a lot of other stuff to cover, which I'm sorry that I didn't. But I will tell you this. Gosh, it's a lot. I don't like popes. I don't like what they stand for. For me, they're standing up there and they got 666 written on. They're the Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but an Antichrist. But I'm going to read you this. In 320 AD, Pope Julius the First specified the 25th day of December as the official date of the birth of Christ. A pope did. It's Catholicism, and you can ask Joe about Catholicism because he was one for 30 years. Horrible. And in 325 AD, everybody heard of Constantine? The first Christian Roman emperor introduced Christmas as an immovable feast on 25 December. Christ Mass.
Who was St. Nicholas? Did you say that one?
I honestly can't tell you.
Yeah, he was a bishop. They chose that date because that's the reincarnation, supposedly, of Nimrod into Taboos, 25th December. What is the solstice?
It's winter solstice. Yeah.
Pagan days, and they put all the Christian days together. So they want to upset the pagans.
You know, a lot of people want to know why Sunday. And here's what it is. He also, Constantine the Great, introduced Sunday as a holy day in a new 7-day week. And introduce movable feasts and Easter. But here's another one, suckers. In 354 AD, the Bishop of Liberius of Rome, I'll tell you something, officially ordered his members to celebrate the birth of Christ on December the 25th. Now, there is it's called Michaelmas. I don't know if anybody's heard of that. Michaelmas and his angels. But that's the 15th day of Tishrei too. The Feast of Tabernacles. Michael and all his angels. Michaelmas.
All the male angels, right?
Yeah, all the male angels. You know, that's another statement. All these people want female angels and stuff like that. And all the angels got wings. You know, cherubs do have wings. We got six. But angels don't. Yeah. You stuck it up your hand. If you were betting on something, I'd have sold it to you.
Yeah, well, okay. Can you give us the gospel?
The gospel.
Tie this
first Christian.
Now. If you have never ever trusted that all of your sins / sin has been paid for at Calvary, you need to do it today. If you have trusted that Jesus Christ was crucified and buried and resurrected from the dead, you're still going to hell. Bad guy. If that's all you trusted, you're going to hell.
So even the devil believe that. If
absolutely.
It happens, they believe it historically, but they're not trusting for.
But you've got to believe that Christ died for all of your sins, your past, your present, your future sins. And he was resurrected from the dead to justify you, clear you of all your sins. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 1.
Put some blood on it.
What?
Put some blood on it.
Mm-hmm. It is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you now, the blood, I've mentioned it a lot of times, that blood was not spilled.
No.
That blood was shed. That was a deliberate thing. It wasn't an accident. I know people disagree with me on that. They say, well, that's spilled. I said, well, I don't like that word to get used, even though it is used. But what is the, you could have, you know, I always go back to Exodus chapter 12. Always. Whenever God told him, you better take and kill that animal, you better put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel and get inside, don't come out. They shed that blood into a basin. And if they'd have left it in the basin, they'd have all died. It had to be applied. Just like right now, that was a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had just died up on Calvary there, his blood just spilled down, and we didn't have any form of salvation for me and you, because we were strangers from the covenants of promise. It has to be applied. And how do you apply the blood of Christ? You trust in the gospel. How do you spell it?
Yeah.
I can't believe I asked that. Gospel of the grace of God. Once you do this, that's the application of blood. Just by spilling of his blood didn't get the job done. Now, why do I say that? Is because his blood was spilled right there. Okay? And that didn't save nobody in this dispensation. Not one person. But it was shed right there. Nobody can be saved in today's dispensation by trusting this thing. That blood has not been applied. It has to be applied. It has to be. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But that's what he said in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But that ain't the gospel. You've got to know what to believe. So then Silas and Paul, they expanded upon what this was to them. And that Philippian jailer was saved, and also his whole household. And they were baptized. But Paul didn't do it. And we're not under any water baptism. Water baptism won't do anything to get you wet. You know, who is that? Let me see. Somebody in here, I guess, was talking to me the other day.
Oh, don't even go there.
Yeah. It was George.
Yeah. Go ahead.
George knows the difference. I'm not going to mention any name, George. No, I'm mentioning his, but not anymore. He's got a friend who's now trying to preach this. I don't know if he's doing it. I really don't. George don't know. George gave him the gospel. He said, for by the one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. And then I told George, I said, would you shorten that up in Ephesians 4, 5? There's one baptism. So why do you want to baptize in water? That's wrong. Somebody come to me and want to be water baptized, I try to give him the gospel again, because I know he ain't saved if he's trusting in that. Because it's not a local church you're joining. It's the body of Christ you're joining, which is the spiritual, invisible church. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's where it's at. Yes.
There's so many people you talk to about the gospel. And say, well, I was baptized in such and such.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
That is nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But baptism does absolutely nothing.
Or...
It's not a hand
touch,
it's a spiritual baptism.
It is by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
Before you were born.
Oh, yeah.
Way before you were born.
What you got?
This week I was going to study both baptism and water baptism and why the Apostle Paul
that God didn't send him to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Is because I think God knew that, you know, what the Catholic Church is all about. And the Catholic Church is about Baalism, and where they make something 380. And the major god of Baalism is Dagon. And Dagon is the fish god. And so another water baptism is when, and it gets twisted. In other words, the roof. This is something
you better hold on and do it in your sermon, but you're going to get carried away. You're going to take an hour.
Let the cross of Christ should be made.
But then you're going to have other people that's going to tell you this. Then you got other people that's going to tell you, well, only reason that Christ told him not to baptize and him preach the gospel is the other people that were having him were supposed to do the water baptism. That's right. That's a lie straight from hell. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys,
we're dry cleaners.
Yeah. We're proud of it. Okay, I didn't get finished, but we'll deal with it. We'll pick up another subject next week. I didn't talk about Christmas. Ain't nothing to talk about. Well, just enjoy yourself.
Christ Mass.